The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Discover a team that's always here to support you at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
But one good thing you'd have to say about it, Professor Luke O'Neill, is that we are mad for vaccination in this country, aren't we? People are fighting to get their hands on it.
We are, Brendan. Isn't it remarkable? It's a frenzy, it seems, going on. Now, that is among the healthcare workers for good reason, yeah. I guess, and people in care homes and so on. As you just correctly said, though, can you imagine when we want to vaccinate 1 million people? Let's see what happens then. But let's hope that level of uptake is there in the general public as well.
Yeah. They're saying there in the mail that some people are saying this is a chaotic rollout and that it's a shambles and stuff like that. Is it? So far?
I don't think so. It's hard to know on the ground. There must be little differences here and there, maybe, and people worry about that, understandably. But we are now. It's true, Brendan. Can you believe it? Number one in Europe at the moment, in the EU.
Have we gone up to number one?
We have.
Okay.
That's a seven-day rolling average. Yet again, we're obsessed with numbers, aren't we? You can go online.
But listen, we like it when we're winning, Luke, don't we?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. Because right, yeah. we were the worst in the world about a week ago. There are cases, but okay. So let's focus on these numbers instead. Yeah.
You got to keep your nerves steady. We will go down. I mean, there's massive vaccination all over Europe at the moment. We happen to be number one. That's a proud boast, isn't it? But let's take it while we can, I suppose.
Yeah. And listen, it seems now like there was a bit of panic yesterday about the Pfizer delay. That Pfizer delay is not really going to be as bad as we thought, is it?
No, it's not. And in fact, the EU has ordered 1.1 billion doses of vaccine, remember, already from the various companies. And if the Johnson & Johnson one comes on, that's another 400 million. So they'll have 1.5 billion doses to be available, and that will now come to us on a pro rata basis. So I wouldn't worry about that kind of thing.
Yeah. I'm interested in the Johnson & Johnson, because I know we're all excited about the AstraZeneca, but I don't know, I haven't seen what the final efficacy numbers on that were, but the Johnson & Johnson, which it seems is going to come on stream quite soon, isn't it? Looks like very good news, doesn't it, Luke?
It does, yeah. They published some data this week, Brendan. They got 90% antibody response, but they haven't done it. The trial is running, obviously. We haven't seen the efficacy in the field yet. But 90% neutralizing antibodies, people got antibodies. It went to 100% at day 29. The experts are predicting...
Does that mean that 100%... Efficacy. Sorry, Luke. Does that mean 100% of the people who took it had antibodies? Or does
exactly.
it mean... That, yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Wow. Yep, so that's amazing, is it?
And they're projecting 80% efficacy overall. That's in the same realm as our favourites,
okay.
Pfizer and Moderna ones. 21st of January, we'll get some data. The trial start gets published. They reckon sort of early to mid-February that one could be approved. The big thing there, Brendan, it's a single shot. So it's a bit simpler. You know, you don't need to come back for a second shot, basically.
Yeah.
40,000 patient trial, just as good as Pfizer and Moderna, all the science and the analysis done there. So we're waiting with bated breath, actually, for that one, because if that one gets approved, we'll have 400 million doses into Europe quite quickly, and then that comes to Ireland, and much more convenient.
That'll be 4.4 million for us. And you don't have to half that the way you do with the others. So that's enough for everybody in a way. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And it keeps in the fridge as well, doesn't it?
It does. It does indeed, yeah. Now, interestingly, Brendan, the Russian vaccine is very similar to that one, the same kind of technology, same kind of rocket engine, if you will. So even though, as you said, we wondered about the Sputnik, didn't we, and they didn't publish any data and so on, that vaccine's been in over 1 million people. They're claiming 91% efficacy with Sputnik V. So the Johnson & Johnson will be similar. We predict that kind of range, you know. So they're both quite similar vaccines.
Okay. Do you believe them about Sputnik?
We've no reason not to.
Okay.
Well, that's a quite funny. Do you trust the Russians? That's the question. But we've no reason not to, you know. And of course, Argentina's approved it and bought 300,000 doses. And Argentina's quite rigorous as well. So, and now, mind you, the difference with Johnson & Johnson is it's a two-dose vaccine. Strange as it may seem, even though the similarities, but they're now doing a trial called Sputnik Lite with a single dose to show that one dose should work for Sputnik as well. You see,
okay.
So very much
nobody's going to want Sputnik Lite. Let's face it. If you arrive at your vaccination centre and they say, "Would you like Sputnik Lite?" It's like being offered a non-alcoholic beer or something.
Yeah,
be like,
exactly.
"No, I'll take a real one, please."
Yeah.
And listen, Luke, am I right in thinking as well that Could these ones be more effective against variants and mutations as well?
They could.
Can you explain that?
Well, the one that's very interesting is the Chinese, Brendan, have three vaccines as well, remember. A company called Sinopharm, which is the one being used in the Middle East at the minute, you know. And that one is an inactivated vaccine, which means it's almost the whole virus, which has been inactivated chemically. So it can't infect you, but it's many parts of the virus. Now, that could work against any strain. Because obviously at the moment, the ones we have are against the spike protein. So if the spike protein changes, the vaccine may not work is the worry there, you know. But these other vaccines coming down the track, probably nearly 99% sure, will work against any strain of COVID-19, you see. That's another good development. And that Chinese one, actually, is probably just as good as the ones we have, you see. So the worry about these strains is somewhat lessening, actually. Because, first of all, they can modify the Pfizer vaccine quite quickly, by the way, if a new strain comes along. It takes about 6 weeks, they reckon. And that's a bit of a delay, obviously. But still, if a nasty strain emerges, which the current vaccines don't work against, it'll take about 6 weeks to repurpose the Pfizer one, for instance. But then, meanwhile, the other ones coming down the track should work against any strain, really, you see. So that's all in our minds, I guess, as we move through these months that are ahead of us.
Yeah. Are you concerned about what's being called I know we're not supposed to call them after the countries they come from, but the Brazil strain we're hearing about now?
They are a concern in that you just keep an eye on them. I wouldn't be panicking by any means or getting really anxious about this, by the way. So, and in fact, there's an expert this week that they've tested the Pfizer vaccine now in a test tube against the two variants, the one that was first found in Brazil and the one in the UK, and it worked against them, you see. And the expert on that publication said he's not worried, you know. So I think I wouldn't be too worried. The worry would be if there's extra mutation. We've got to keep a very close eye on that.
What do you mean?
Let's say another mutant appears.
Okay.
Another strange strain emerges. So they're very good at tracking these, remember. They've got great skill to some of them. So they're keeping an eye on it. And it is a slight concern, it must be said, but nothing to worry about.
Okay. So look, we're not ignoring the fact that the short term is very, very grim indeed. And the next few weeks are going to be a tough few weeks. But I suppose what you're saying to people is that the medium term, it really, Luke, it's looking better than we possibly could have imagined even 6 months ago, isn't it?
It's remarkable we have these vaccines, Brendan, really, in a sense, because many of us were saying we wouldn't have the first one until March or April, right? And then we got them in November, December, didn't we? And now the next few are coming along. So you're right, it is a remarkable time, at least for vaccines. And there has to be grounds for optimism. We have to get as many, as we know, 4 million by September is the claim, isn't it, at the moment? As many people vaccinated as quickly as we can is obviously the key mission that we're all saying.
Yeah. Do you know what I think is going to happen here, though, Luke? I think everyone accepts that quarter one is about healthcare workers and the care homes and everything, right? Quarter two is when the bun fight is going to start, because there's a lot of people there saying, oh, I'm an essential worker. Oh, my heart isn't feeling great. And people are going to be ringing their friends in hospitals and doctors and everything else, because everyone's going to want to get it in quarter two if they can. Luke, normal life resuming slightly by the summer?
That even the Taoiseach himself, Ben, see, they said June, we'll have a slightly different world in June. That was a good thing to say, I guess, on record. We think so. By the summer, things should definitely be much better. Let's put it that way. Much better place. I mean, we still need to remember, and nobody's safe until everybody's safe is a phrase they use with vaccines, by the way. You've got to get widespread vaccination. That will take time, you know. And until then, we've got to keep wearing the masks and the distancing and all the usual things. But there's no doubt governments around the world will start to relax slightly as the death rate plummets, as the illness rate plummets. That's the first thing we see happening, by the way. And then, you know, we can then begin to plan the next few months. The other good news this week, by the way, while I'm at it, I'm very excited this morning, that there's evidence that the Pfizer vaccine may well stop transmission, right? And that was a big one for us. In other words, we knew it could stop you getting sick. That was clear from the data. But you still might have a tiny bit of virus in your nose that might spread to someone else, and they might be vulnerable, you see. But now the Israelis, who, of course, have given this vaccine to 800,000 people, they're now reporting, oh, there's some evidence that it's blocking transmission as well. And let's hope that's the case, because that gets the R number right down then, and everything gets much faster then. You know, in other words, the end game gets a bit closer
if
vaccines stop transmission as well as preventing illness.
Luke, before you go, there are a lot of people texting in worried about the Chinese and Russian vaccines and that. Have you any words of comfort or otherwise?
It's understandable. I got a huge, in Bahrain at the moment, they're mandating that Chinese vaccine to sign up on one. And I've had at least 5 emails from Irish people saying, should I take it or shouldn't I, you know? And obviously they're concerned because there's no data published really on them, you know? So it is a kind of a trust thing in many ways. As I said, I have no reason to say these are dangerous or less efficacious or whatever it might be. But the concern is they haven't published their data, you know. So it is a bit of a tricky one, I think. We'll have to see, I suppose. But if I was in Bahrain, I would take the Sinopharm vaccine myself, for instance.
OK, Luke O'Neill, thanks very much. As always, let's take a quick break. I'll be back in a minute with Mary McAleese on the Mother and Baby Homes.